Welcome back, dear listeners, to the Dish with Dina podcast. I am so happy to have you join us again. In today's episode, I will be talking about meal planning, something that can seem a bit daunting, especially at this time of year when a lot of people are making resolutions revolving around new habits or breaking old ones. So sit back, enjoy the conversation, and let's dish. We are going to be talking about meal planning this week because at the time of this recording, we are still in January. January, I think, is still the month of resolutions, and it's also the make or break time as well. A lot of people come in really hot to a new year with a bunch of ambition, trying to make or break habits, and oftentimes they're met with challenges and not very successful. And I want to make sure that that is not the case for you. Whether or not you're choosing meal planning to be part of your New Year's resolutions, or you're just interested in fine tuning a little bit more about some of the habits that you're making. For me, I do not mean to be hyperbolic when I say this, but I really believe that meal planning has saved my physical and mental lives. There's a lot of stuff that I deal with here in my professional world and also my personal world. And I also have a lot going on. So I find that meal planning is just one more of those things that I can integrate, much like a productivity tool, into my overall daily and weekly habits. So it takes away that decision making. I don't have to focus so much on what should I eat? What am I going to eat? What do I have in the house? And it makes my life a little bit easier. And so I figured let's have this discussion about meal planning because a lot of people tend to start off the new year with wanting to come in with maybe improving a little bit on their eating habits or starting to cook a little bit more. And of course, I want to share with you that you don't necessarily have to have an entire extreme in order to make a new habit for yourself. So we'll talk a little bit about why, if you feel like meal planning, that might be a good idea for you. I'll also share with you some tips and strategies, and we'll also talk a little bit about some of the resources and tools. Going into this, because as you know, I've created this new format with this podcast that I'm on an audio platform as well as a video platform. So I'm not going to be pulling up any slides for the video viewers, but I am going to include in this episode a link to a wellness webinar that I did a while back called Meal Planning Made Easy. And I also have a playlist on YouTube of gaining kitchen confidence. So if you're interested in fine tuning or honing your skills a little bit more when it comes to meal preparation, planning, shopping, anything related around food, you are in luck. I'm going to share with you some of those links and you can go and watch those videos at your convenience. So let's start first with talking about why do people even meal plan? Well, like I said, it reduces the decision fatigue, right? That one more thing I have to decide on. It can also reduce stress around mealtime of not having to impulse buy or impulse eat. It also can help you with managing your household inventory, and it also can help you with your budget. Some people say that it can save time as well by having a plan of action. In some case, you're not overbuying, overspending, wasting food. But I want to define this also as planning for times where you might be eating out, planning for meals that might include semi-homemade, semi-prepared, convenience items. Again, you don't have to start from scratch with all that. I also think meal planning can be really customizable, and it helps too if you are managing a chronic condition that you have to be mindful of. So this is why also planning in advance can be helpful. And maybe there's a lot of people in your household who also have conditions or food preferences or a food allergy. So this, again, alleviates the stress and the decision-making when you have a plan in action. So let's talk about some of the health benefits, right? So if you are managing a chronic condition, when you are taking meal planning into account, when you're utilizing your schedule and you're coming in to your food choices a little bit more mindfully, then it might help you with managing some of those conditions, like stabilizing your blood sugar if you have diabetes, pre-diabetes, or any kind of insulin sensitivity condition. It can help you with figuring out what to eat if you're working with a cholesterol problem like me. I might have talked about this in the past too. Familial hypercholesteremia, I guess, is my technical diagnosis. That is just my body produces cholesterol. It's just the way it goes. So I have to be a little bit more mindful of cholesterol-containing foods, and it can also help you with, I was going to say with high blood pressure, that is correct. But because if you are still purchasing convenience foods, this might be a conversation for another episode, or I might direct you to a different resource, that you would still have to be mindful of looking at packages, looking at the labels on packages, because I don't want you to just assume that if you have high blood pressure and you're going to meal plan, you're going to be cooking everything from scratch and seasoning things yourself. That might not be realistic or feasible. So you might still be taking home with you some heat and eat items, some grab and go things. Again, you might integrate also takeout. So those things could be higher in salt. So if that's the case, then come back when we talk about heart health and learn a little bit more about that. Cost effectiveness is a big deal as well. I just said it could reduce the price. I have a couple of statistics here that I'm going to share with you. On average, per serving, based on, weekly meal preparation, and if you're just going grocery shopping and cooking everything from home, on average, people spend about $4.30 or so per serving. If you utilize one of those meal kit companies, I think the two that come to mind for me are HelloFresh and Blue Apron. I want to say Purple Carrot because I think there's a color thing that reminded me, but I'm not sure if Purple Carrot is an actual meal kit service or if they're a grocery service. But anyway, the point is if you order foods in from outside, then that might increase the cost because somebody else is doing the labor for you in procuring those ingredients, but you might actually do the cooking at home. And that averages out to about $12 or so a serving. And then if you are solely relying on outside foods, takeout, restaurants, cooking, and dining out, that's going to cost you on average about $20 per serving per person. And I'll tell you right now, I don't know where those numbers are coming from because in New York City, my friends, oof, I think it cost us $60 just to get a pizza recently. So prices are skyrocketing. Meal planning also helps you figure out how to work around wherever you might be. And I always say this to a lot of the people that I work with who are managing chronic conditions. Wherever you go, there you are. And there also is your illness, your disease state, your condition, your allergy. So allowing yourself to plan and prepare for things, having things on hand, bringing things with you if you're traveling, if you're on the go, if you are a salesperson, if you travel a lot just because your maybe work or school kind of not forces you, but it's in that structure of your life, then obviously it helps to have something that you can bring with you that is portable, that doesn't have to be refrigerated. So things like that, thinking things through, creating for yourself a plan in that you can execute when you're out and about. And let's see if anybody listening here, have you said the following to yourself? I never know what my schedule is going to be like. I work an erratic schedule. That's me. I work an erratic schedule. I don't know if I have the time. I get bored very easily. It takes way too long to do these things. Well, if you plan in advance, then that could alleviate the stress and reduce the, should I call them excuses or should I call them reasons? I forget. All right, so let's get into how to create a plan for you. My first recommendation would always be grab something tangible, grab a piece of paper, an app, a notepad, your smartphone, whatever it is, and also grab your calendar or your schedule. Take a look at what a current week in the life of you is, especially if it's going to change up a lot, or if you have things like, seasonal things like, maybe you're going to a graduation party or a wedding or some kind of event, or you have children who are on the soccer team and they're in the middle of practice or they have tournaments. Take a look at week by week so that you're not being too ambitious coming in with what you're going to create. I, for those of you who have large size refrigerators and freezers, that is going to be a conversation we'll have in a minute. But I will also say try not to think too far in advance, particularly for that reason. You don't want things sitting around too long and being forgotten about. So take a look at what a current week in the life of you is. Keep a list on hand of those things. Take a look at where you might want to cook, where you might be able to go grocery shopping. Pick a day and time and treat it like a meeting with yourself. If you have the ability to work with people around you that you can delegate to, whether they're part of your home or family or assistants of some sort, then that could be very useful as well. Okay, the next thing is figure out who you are. So, like I said before, if you've never cooked a day in your life, are you really going to say, okay, that's it, I'm starting from scratch and I don't even own a pan and I'm going to start making 3-course meals of, you know, French restaurant quality? Probably not. I mean, that's quite ambitious. I would applaud you if that's the case, but I would say just be realistic. Who is it that you are? How are you planning to work around your schedule and your personality? What are things that you enjoy about the food that you are already eating? What are things you gravitate to? And what are things you like doing? As an example, I love grocery shopping, but I rarely do it. I don't have the time or energy sometimes to do it. And because I live in an apartment building in New York City, it's very hard for me to go and actually do like a, and I don't own a car, so I can't do like a full shopping trip. So that would mean I'd have to be going every few days or so, and I really don't have the ability to do that. So in my case, when I'm meal planning for myself, I'm actually planning ahead and looking at an online grocery store and having them deliver to me, but I'm also making sure what I have coming in, what's available, and I'm pre-planning the things that I'm going to eat, whether I'm going to play a role in making those things or they're already going to be maybe somewhat done for me, like a heat and eat option. The next thing is to then implement, execute your plan of action. So you have your calendar and maybe other people's calendars as well. Take a look at where you might be out, if you might be working late, if you have events going on, and just mark those off, right? Those are going to be days that you're going to either rely on leftovers, takeout, or some other kind of outside entity is going to be feeding you, like if you're at an event or something like that. So you can prepare for that ahead of time. You might also have recurring themes. Maybe you have family night, game night, pizza night. We do things like that here. Every Friday night, we try to do an Italian night. Don't tell my family because they hate when I order spaghetti outside because I am Italian and it's like sacrilege. But listen, sometimes other people do better than I can. So that could be something else that you're taking into consideration, that you have some sort of special occasion or fun thing or theme that you're doing. And that might be a no cooking night or a partially cooking night. And then which are the days that you're going to be shopping, cooking, preparing things? So maybe as an example, that could be, you know, say a Sunday, you go and you do your grocery shopping at 10 or 11 in the morning. You come home within an hour or so, you unload everything. And maybe that's it for the day. Maybe that's all the energy that you have. And that's what you're going to leave it at. Or you add in some extra time on the day that you return from the grocery shopping and you start preparing things, whether you are splitting up already made foods like frozen vegetables. Maybe you break them up into different smaller size bags and you start figuring out, okay, this week of the night, I'm going to have frozen veggies on the side. The next time I'm going to add them into some kind of stir fry, you know, something along those lines. So you're utilizing what you're bringing home and you're figuring it out right then and there. Or maybe you are doing all of the cooking on the day that you come home from your grocery shopping. So you're unloading, you're unpacking, you're chopping, slicing, and dicing, you're doing all the cooking. And then you also have to add in the storage of things and the cleaning of things. So again, if you have people in your house that can help you with this, that would be a great way to get them involved, getting hands-on and alleviate you the burden of the responsibility. And then the last thing to do is to put your plan in action. So if you're going to be going grocery shopping, one of my favorite things to do, if you know how your grocery store is laid out, is make your list according to the aisles. It really helps you be a lot more efficient. It also helps if you have an idea of what to get ahead of time. So what I didn't mention is to audit or inventory your kitchen first, before you go, aside from keeping a running list of grocery items that maybe you're running out of, like toilet paper or peanut butter, then You're also going to be taking a look maybe at some recipes too and what those recipes entail. Maybe that's something that you really enjoy doing so you don't have to get bored. So you mix it up a little bit and you're making a different recipe every single night. Or maybe you're picking three or four recipes that kind of have the same ingredients on them so that you're, double dipping. You're utilizing everything very efficiently. But what do you already have in store? What's in the back of your freezer? What's on the top of your cabinets? What is coming too close to its expiration date? What are things that you might have forgotten about or that you had on hand or you bought at a bulk sale or you had coupons for? Take a look at those things too and figure out how you might integrate them once you go grocery shopping or for that week's meal plans. When you're going grocery shopping, I would recommend, try not to get dissuaded and deterred by anything that might be out there that's quite appealing, like sales and things. I don't know. I come from a place of living in a very tight environment. My quarters are very small. We have very limited space here. So I can't be talked into buying a lot of things. But I also know that, I don't want to unload other people's surplus. Like, I think things are going to go on sale a lot more often all the time. So I don't have fear of missing out on that. If I do miss out on buying 5 pounds of oranges, then it'll probably go on sale another time. So I don't need 5 pounds of oranges right now. Or if I do get suckered into buying 5 pounds of oranges, do I have a plan for that? Am I going to be able to utilize those things, or are they just going to end up in the garbage or in the compost? And of course, we don't want to have any food waste. That's not a good thing to have. Please allow yourself some flexibility. There might be nights where you're just like, I can't eat another whatever, or I'm really stressed out, or I came home super late and there's no way I'm going to eat that big meal or start cooking something large for myself. And maybe you just have cereal for dinner that night, or you grab a sandwich on the way home. I want you to feel comfortable about that. So if you think in terms of the week as 7 days, and you think, on average, 3 to 5-ish times that we're eating throughout every day. Maybe you have three main meals. Maybe you have two snacks every day or every other day. For me, sometimes it depends. Sometimes I have a very large breakfast and I don't really feel super hungry until much later in the evening. And other times I'm kind of picking throughout the day because I'm really busy and I haven't had time to sit and have an actual meal. So the point I'm making with this is a lot of what I recommend to a lot of people. Don't think about 100% of the time. Don't think of, 21 to potentially whatever, 28 times that you're eating. Think in short spurts. What can you prepare for yourself for maybe 3 days worth of something, whether that's 3 days in a row or 3 days throughout the entire week? And then you're filling in the blanks with either leftovers, takeout, or something else that you might be going to, like if you have, an event or a meeting that is being catered in that sense. So allow yourself room for flexibility where that you don't have to be responsible for 100% of the meals. And like me, if you don't have the room to cook and store and do all these things the one day, you might have to go back a second day during the week. So maybe one day you do your grocery shopping, cooking, slicing, dicing, putting things on a Sunday. You eat for 3 days worth of that. And then maybe on Wednesday night, you go back and repeat that again. You have to go back to grocery shopping and preparing and so on. So realistically, where does that fit into your schedule? All right. So one of the things I also want to point out is the variety that you get. I love telling people diversify your diet. Try to eat a variety of different things. Even if you have some preferences or restrictions, or maybe you even have a picky eater at home, I would probably guarantee that you have at least 10 to 20 different food items that you can choose from that you can put on rotation. And so when we jazz up our diet, we have a variety of different nutrients in all of those different food groups, all of those different macronutrients, right? Carbs and fats and proteins. And we also benefit our gut because our gut health is very much related to a lot of our other healthful functions, and it does rely on diversity as well. So try not to eat the same thing over and over again, I guess is what I'm trying to say. If you do eat the same thing over and over again, try to use it in different ways. So maybe that could be the leftover discussion, right? Maybe what you had for your side dishes of vegetables on the one night, you integrate that a few days later into a large salad or in a veggie scramble. Try to Keep things simple. So again, try not to overwhelm yourself or anyone else who is sharing this responsibility with you, unless you have the ability to do that. And if you have like a large pantry or a large kitchen, and that's something that you do bulk shopping for. But I think also, the freshness of it and kind of keeping that cycle moving and jazzing things up allows us the opportunity to experiment with different seasonal foods that come in and out of our supermarkets over the course of the year. Also, it allows us to try different seasonings and flavors and really open up the profile of what we want to experiment with. So, maybe you have a Mediterranean flavor one night, and maybe another night you're preparing foods and you're using more Mexican or South American flavors or Western flavors. So think about that as well, of keeping it simple. We talked earlier too about maybe incorporating some themes. You could even do something like make your own pizza or a taco station or smoothie bars, or depending on what you or whoever else is in your household enjoys to eat, that could be something that you're doing. So in that case, you're not preparing a meal per se. You're just preparing ingredients, and some of those ingredients you might not have to cook or make from scratch. You just have condiments and tortillas or something that you can open up and just lay out, and then everybody gets to make their own meal out of that, and everybody gets a little bit something different. Again, bringing into mind that I have a teeny tiny apartment, I do not have a lot of appliances, but maybe you have an air fryer, or maybe you have an Instapot or a crock pot. So use the equipment that you have on hand to your benefit. Allow you to make large meals, batch cook some things that you can break up into smaller portions, and then heat and eat along the course of your week as that progresses. I used to have a recipe book. I don't have that anymore. I kind of have in my brain a lot of things that I go to, but I also like looking up things online. I don't use Pinterest a lot, but Pinterest I know is a really popular thing with a lot of people, a social media landing site, but it also is great at creating Pinterest boards. So you can pin things that you enjoy looking at as far as recipes are concerned that you find on the internet or you find in a magazine, and keep a little list, a little archive of things that that you're going to want to try out. I think some time-saving tips, we can talk about that too. So the thing that comes to mind with this are a few things, actually. Mason jars, right? Are you familiar with mason jars? They're just like large canning jars. And the mason jar salads, you can layer them with the heartiest ingredients on the bottom and the most delicate things on top. So if you opt to leave your dressing out, that's totally fine in a separate container, or you can already pre-assemble this salad by putting the layer of your dressing at the bottom of the jar, then putting in some heartier types of foods like protein, right? Chopped chicken, shrimp, chickpeas, beans, layering that up. Maybe you throw cheese in there. Maybe you have some nuts, walnuts, seeds. And at the very top would be the last thing, which would be your leafy greens or your light lettuces, something that's very leafy and fragile would go at the top. And you can package those up and stick them in the fridge. When you are ready to eat them or travel with them, you take the whole jar with you, or you empty it in, or you shake it up and empty it into a bowl, and that becomes the meal itself. So that's a time-saving tip. Overnight oats is a great one too, where you prepare your oatmeal in again, another mason jar or a container of some sort. You create the oatmeal and you add in, say, peanut butter or crushed up walnuts or a fruit of your choosing, and then you stick that in the refrigerator and allow that to kind of, congeal, I guess, or set overnight. Then, if you want to purchase anything and stick it in the freezer, you could create seasonings or marinades for those things. You could put them in a freezer tight bag, make sure it's all sitting in the marinade or the rub or whatever you're putting on there. And then when you take it out to thaw, the marinade and the rub kind of, they create that fresh flavor that's going on there before you actually cook it. Let's see, what else do I have on here? Any resources or tools that I want to share? Well, I mentioned before, I said Blue Apron and HelloFresh if you're doing meal kit services. Though sometimes, they could be a little bit pricey because people are already doing things for you, but you are assembling them at home, so it can give you a little bit more of that like hands-on feeling without having to go shopping for yourself. And another disadvantage sometimes about those is that there is not enough to make a ton of food for leftovers. So if you don't like leftovers, that might be the way to go. You could also look up apps. I mean, listen, we live in the digital age. We are from the future. There's a lot of technological tools, websites out there that you can either use as a meal planning service, right? You could either pay for them or a free meal planning service where you access something like, I want to eat paleo or I want to have a vegan meal plan and it will generate a meal plan for you. Or I think Big Oven does this. I think Big Oven, if that still exists, does it. You can type in a random group of ingredients, like you have leftover onion and a can of sardines and some other third ingredient on hand. And you're like, what am I going to make with this nonsense? Like when you're doing your kitchen inventory and you're checking out the leftovers from behind your freezer or inside your cabinets. And then you plug in those ingredients, and this website churns it out and says, here's a bunch of stuff that happens to have those ingredients in it. Would you like to try any of those things? So, again, coming in with a plan in mind could be helpful. So, you have the idea of what you need before you go purchasing your groceries, et cetera, or you have the stuff already on hand, and then you find the recipes and the meals to make from that. So, you have a couple of different options there for you. I'm sure if you actually, you know what? Since we are doing this both in podcast form and video form, I'll put some links to some of the things that I'm mentioning here that you can check out. But I also really want to see what your ideas are. What are some of the things that you are currently doing to keep you on track with your meal planning? Are you meal planning? Do you think it's a waste of time? Do you like to do it? Do you want to do it? Was this helpful in any way with providing you with some guidance, some recommendations, some resources? And if you follow me on social media, like I said, I'm going to link to the YouTube recorded webinar and some other playlist videos that I have already existing out on my YouTube channel. But on Instagram, I think in particular, I have a couple of highlight reels of those easy eats or meal preparation things. I might even do like a meal plan with me day. So I don't know. Check out my Instagram profile, click on that account and see if anything resonates with you. And if you are online and you want to tag me in some of your meal planning things that you've decided to do, I would really love to see what you have out there. And I hope that you have enjoyed this conversation. I can't wait to chat with you again in the next episode. Thank you so much for joining me this week on the Dish with Dina podcast. I am Dina D'Alessandro, registered dietitian, nutritionist, founder, and chief executive life changer at Dish with Dina, and I'm also your host. If you like what you heard, I would be so grateful if you could subscribe to this podcast, leave a review, and share this with others who you think might benefit from what we have to offer on these episodes. You can also join my mailing list at dishwithdina.com or email me at info@dishwithdina.com with questions, comments, feedback, and if you'd like to be a guest on a future episode, because everybody eats and we all have a story to share. I hope you tune back in next week when we dish again.